one of the big questions that come up with regards to Purim and Shachmanos, I know we are more than a month away, but it doesn't hurt to get prepared, is after all the, we get plenty of Shachmanos, but what about the kids? When the kids get Shachmanos, what is your responsibility? What are you allowed to do as a parent? Are you allowed to take your children's Shachmanos and give them away without their permission? Could you sneak some things here, some things there, and just take it away? It's a responsible parent not to have your kids stuff their face with candy over the next few weeks until Pesach comes. So what's really allowed as a parent? What's your responsibility as a parent in terms of the Shachmanos? So look at the first source here. It's Halacha Thalden Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, it's Choshen Mishpat. It's Siman Reish Ayin. It says as follows. It's Ramah. Ramah writes, V'im nasnu matana lakatan hasamuch al shulchan aviv, harehi shel aviv. The Ramah says, if a present is given to a child, to a minor, who's somech al shulchan aviv, who's at your table, who's supported by you, the loch is harehu shel aviv, the father is allowed to keep it. So that means, when your children receive shalachmanos, it's really yours. You get to keep it. That's what the Ramah writes. Aval lo bivno gadol. If the child is a gadol, if he's a child who is above 13, who's living home, so he has his level of independence. Anything he receives, he's allowed to keep. But if the child is under 13, or for a girl, she's under 12, so the halacha is you get to keep all the shalachmanos, which means there should be no questions at all about any shalachmanos that are collected. You could take them as you wish and give them away, unless the child, of course, is above bar or bas mitzvah. So that's the Ramah first. So let's understand this halacha, whether this is in fact really true, and what should the best approach be. Let's discuss in general, what is, if there is, even a mitzvah of shalachmanos for children. We know, of course, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, which applies to all types of mitzvahs. Does that apply to shalachmanos? So we would imagine, why wouldn't it apply? It's a mitzvah of chinuch for tittus, the mitzvah of chinuch for Torah, the mitzvah of chinuch for tefillin at a much later age. There's always a mitzvah of chinuch. A few rare exceptions where there's no mitzvah of chinuch. There's no chinuch for avelus, let's say. We don't want to be mechanich children in the world of avelus. So what about shalachmanos? So at first glance, everyone here would probably say that, of course, there's a mitzvah of chinuch when it comes to shalachmanos. Anyone think of a reason why there shouldn't be a mitzvah of chinuch for shalachmanos? I wouldn't think so either. But take a look at number two, the Kovetz Halachas, which is Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. Shmuel Kamenetsky, it's a sefer. They came out with a whole set of when he paskins and the various Yom Tovim. It's put out by an individual. His name is I think Rav Daniel Kleiman.
Just the mitzvah that possibly he's going to learn himself anyway. Since he might not learn himself, but Shachmanis because he benefits from it. Maybe he'll know it on his own, so there might not be a mitzvah.
We don't ever have such an example where we say, let them just figure it out on their own. We always try to be mechanich them, even if they end up learning it nonetheless. So, the Shmuel Kamenetsky, he paskins, and he's not alone, by the way. He's in the company of the Stipler and other great poskim throughout the generations, and he writes, or it's written in his name, number two, Katan shigil lechinach, nira she'ein tzarech lechancho b'mitzvos mishloach manos. A child who reaches the age of chinuch, there is no requirement to be mechanech this child in shalach manos. Now, why would that be? Very strange. Why is it different than tzitzis, alulav, and sukkah? So what it's explained in the footnote, and this is what Stipler writes in his sefer, because a katan has no money. Ein lahem mamon. They can't acquire things. They're lacking das. They lack the ability to make acquisitions. It's not their money. If it's not their money, they can't give away anything, they can't receive anything, and for that reason, the mitzvah of chinuch does not apply.
They're going to get money.
What?
They're going to get money in the future.
But right now, at this stage, they have no money, in which case, they're going to be pater from the mitzvah of shalach manos.
Why is it different than why are we so concerned by an esfer?
Very good, excellent. So he asked the question at the bottom. He said he asked Shmuel Kamenetsky this very question. When it comes to the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, is a mitzvah of Lachem, or the Kachtem Lachem, the Yom HaRishon, Lakachtem Lachem. You should buy it for yourself. So for you and I, the Yotzei, the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, we must own our lulav, we must own our esrog. It Lachem has to be yours. If you don't own it, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah of Dalad Minim on the first day. So too when it comes to a child. The child has to own the mitzvah, it has to be Lachem, for him to own it. So why is this any different? If he's able to own a lulav and esrog and be yotzei the mitzvah, shouldn't he be able to own shalach manos and be yotzei the mitzvah as well? Now, as an aside, It's the Sfas Emes, which I've quoted a number of times over the years, the Sfas Emes on that Gemara in Sukkah, which talks about the need to own the Da'al Minim. He says it's not only by Da'al Minim. The Gemara has a Gezer Shava. It applies just as well to Matzah. There's a Gezer Shava. The Sfas Emes says, I don't know why no one's makbid on owning Matzah. When you go to someone's house, if you're a guest at someone's house, so they bought the matzah, it's not yours. So they should give it over. They should be makne over the matzah, that this should be yours. You should own it and eat your matzah. So in fact, in some homes, the Baal Bas beforehand, a number of the Gdolim's homes will say, whatever matzah you get to your plate, I'm giving it to you as an ownership, as yours, and then you can eat it. You go to ask a question, you can't be makne things on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Mishnah says you can't do buying and selling, you can't give gifts on Shabbos and Yom Tov. When it comes to Tzarech Mitzvah, you're allowed to. So others say, so how do we yod to the Mitzvah Lachem? By Matzah? It's understood that whatever Matzah you get, it's yours. I don't have to articulate it. Whatever Matzah is on your plate, you become the owner, and that's how you're yod to Lachem by Matzah. So how, if it's by Matzah and by Da'al Minim, one can be yod to Lachem? You buy a chinuch set for a katan, he owns it, so why can he own a shalach maras as well? So they asked the question to Shmuel Kamenetsky. Frankly, I don't understand what his answer is. I think it's a mefurish gemara. We'll get to the gemara in just a second. But what's brought down here in Rav Kamenetsky's name is as follows. He says that lulav is different because the mitzvah of lulav is to shake the lulav. The inin of lachem is completely secondary. It's ancillary to the mitzvah itself. I don't really need the mitzvah lachem. Lachem is a tanai. So if you can't accomplish a tanai for a child, we can't always do all the necessary components of a mitzvah. So even though he doesn't own it, so then he can at least shake it. It's at least something. It's not the essence of the mitzvah to own it. It's a side point. But the mitzvah shalach manos, the whole inin is to own it and to give it and to receive it. Shalach manos is all about ownership and giving. That's the etzem of the mitzvah. That's the essence of the mitzvah. So while by lulav and esrog, he doesn't really own it. But we don't care about it because the ownership is really secondary. He could still shake it. But by shalach manos, if you don't own it, there's nothing to talk about. You can't even pretend to have shalach manos. And for that reason, he says, although he's chayiv in lulav and esrog, he's not chayiv in shalach manos.
Right. I don't even understand the whole answer. I mean, the whole idea of chinuch is to teach them how to do mitzvahs. Isn't that the mitzvah itself? To teach them the fact that they are not chayiv to do it or are not able to do it, isn't that besides the point?
No, because let's say you can't find any more esrogim. There's a big shortage of esrogim. There's only enough for adults. So you want to be mechanech your child. So could I go to the grocery store and buy a lemon, a real lemon, and here's your esrog for it. This is the best I could do. Are you going to be yod to the mitzvah of chinuch that way? And the halach is, no, you're not, because it's not really an esrog. When it comes to the actual, you have to have the same exact details that's needed for an adult has to be applied to a child as well. But when now the details are really secondary, like the ownership is secondary, then you're fine. But when you're missing an esrog itself, when you have a lemon, that's not the mitzvah. So if the whole essence of shalach manos is to own it and to give it, if you're lacking those elements, it's nothing to talk about.
That's tzedakah. I mean,
yeah, to be patur in tzedakah as well. Yeah.
It's not chinuch.
We'll get to matas of yonim as well. We'll discuss that. Very good.
Doesn't a child lack the legal capacity to transfer?
He's saying it's even in terms of owning, forgetting transferring right now, but even in terms of owning it in the first place, that he doesn't have the ability. Any money given to the katan, he can't own. We'll get to transferring in a second. So this was the lumnus of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, again, about what is the essence of the mitzvah. So, Lanias Daiti, I thought it was a very simple answer based on the Gemara and Sukkah. I think perhaps what you're alluding to about the inability for a katan to transfer things. Let's look at the Gemara and this is perhaps...
Like once they get it,
exactly.
It's over, right?
Exactly. So let's look at the Gemara, exactly what you're referring to. So look inside at number 3. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, it gives the following advice to adults. Amar Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says, Lo likne inshe, a person should not be makne hoshana liyanuka, should not be makne over his dal minim. Biyoma tova kama, yom tov rishon. Because we said already that there's a mitzvah to own your dal minim on the first day of Sukkot. After day one, you could borrow and be yotze the mitzvah through borrow. But if you're makne over to your child on the first day, you shouldn't do this. My taima, Diyanuka makne kane, aknuye lo makne. A child able to acquire things, he could own things, but he can't transfer things. He doesn't have the ability to transfer ownership. Vishtakach de kanafik belulav sheino shalo. So if you give your lulav to a child, so now he owns it. Now he said, give it back to me, boy. I need it for myself now. He says, it doesn't work. He could own it. Now it's his. He's lachem, but he can't give it back to you. So that would be the simple understanding. I don't know what Shul Kanetsi is trying to say here, what the Mechaber is saying here. It doesn't make sense to me, because the Gemara clearly says he owns it. The child can acquire things. He owned a lulav. He could own money. He just can't give it up. So that would be the simple answer, in that the reason why he's not Yotze Shachmanos is because he could receive things, but when he gives away his Laffy Taffy, he doesn't really want to give away his Laffy Taffy. When he gives away his bottle of Coke, he doesn't want to give it away. He doesn't know how to share. So that's the answer why. Lulav, he could own. Lachem, he could own something. If the Tati gives it to him, he has Lachem. But to give something up, to do a Mais in a Sina, that won't work. And that would be, to me, the understanding as to why a person, a child rather, would be Yotze or Chayv in Chinuch of the mitzvah of Shalach Manos. Now, to defend Rav Shmuel Kamenetzi's understanding, there is a machlokas in general. How to understand this Gemara. When the Gemara in Sukkot says a katan can acquire things. The Rashi is a das yachid. Rashi says he's only able to acquire things midirabanan. But midiraisa, a child is not able to acquire things. So since it's only midirabanan, maybe that's why, since he doesn't really own things in a deraisa level, maybe that's what Rav Shmuel Kamenetzi means, that he doesn't own things and he can't perform Shalach Manos. But Kemat, all the other Rishonim hold that if there's a Das Acheres Machne, if someone's giving a gift over to a child, that child does have a full Daraisa Kinyan. That does work. Let me backtrack for a second. There's a Gemara in Gittin that says that a Mitzia, if a Katan, a Cheresh Shoter Katan, finds a lost object, that's completely Yish, they find some money on the floor. So midiraisa, if I see a katan pick it up, I could go over and say, can I take a look at that dollar bill? And say, you know, I'm going to keep it. There's no gazela. Because the Gemara says, he can't acquire things, he can't own things. But because of darche shalom, because he might go home and tell his father's going to come beat me up for taking his son's $10 bill, so darche shalom, they said, okay, let him keep it. But it's not really gazela, he can't own things. But that's when there's a metzia. When someone gives something, an adult, gives a gift to a katan, that's called das acheres makne, where I am actually transferring it over to him, that allows the katan to acquire. If it's a mitzvah on the ground, there's no one transferring it over, just in hefker. But when I'm pushing it to him, when I'm giving him a gift, so then everybody agrees that katan can acquire something. It's just debatable whether it's derabanan or deraisa. So to my understanding, this chilek would be again, while by dal minim, a katan can own something, it's lachem. It's Das Acheres Machne. His father gave it to him. So he has Lachem. He can own it. But it can't be Yotze Shalach Manos because he can't do a Mais Nesina. He doesn't know how to give things away. He doesn't know how to share properly.
One is the Raisa and one is the Rabbanan. Esther is the Raisa and Shalach Manos.
That's correct also. Doesn't mean it was going to be a flair factor, though. That's a true chilek, but it doesn't mean it's going to have any bearing. Okay.
Isn't that a steer to the first Shulchan Aruch?
We'll come back to Shulchan Aruch and see everything fits in Bli Nether. So now that's all in the understanding of Shmuel Kamenetzki and the Stipler. Of course, we're great Gedolim. But the Prima Gadim argues, and this seems to be the practice. The Prima Gadim writes to number 4, and if you just look at the bold here, the Yira Ketanim Mechanchin Kechol Chinuch Af Bidirabanim. That he thinks the Ketanim, there is a mitzvah of Chinuch on children. Even though the mitzvah of Shalach Manos is only Dirabanan Chiyav, there is a mitzvah of Chinuch. He doesn't think that they're pater, there's a mitzvah of Chinuch. Why? Either because he thinks the katan owns it, or because you do best you can just to train your kids whatever they're capable of doing. But seemingly he thinks that katanim do have acquisition, they do own things, and they can give things as well. That's how the Prima Gadim Paskins, and that seems to be the practice. Look at the Eisha of Ram Mivichach, number 5. He says that chen ketanim shegil chinuch, he agrees that you're machanchin osam b'mishloach manos, you treat them, you train them how to send gifts and food to their friends. Ve'einam choshishib b'batalos avyonim, but they don't give batalos avyonim. Kevin she'ein lehem apirov maos shelahem klal, they don't have their own bank account, they don't have their own piggy bank. V'lo shayach b'chinuch u'kimo kol b'nei aniyim Shiptur Michinech Bezeh Delo Gari Migdol Yanim. Look what he writes here. The Eish of Ram says that there is a mitzvah of Ketanim, Chinech, of Ketanim to send the gifts, but there is no mitzvah of Matanis Levyon. Why? Because they don't own anything either. They don't own any type of money. They have no money to give. So there's a machlokas in general. Is an ani chayv in Matanis Levyonim? There's a machlokas between the Prichadash and the Bach. Does an ani have to give Matanis Levyonim? What's the nature of the machlokas? Anyone know? Let's ask another question. Is an ani chayv in tzedakah? Regular day of the week, is a chayv, you have to give tzedakah? Mm-hmm. How much tzedakah does he have to give? She has to give, no, he has to give just simply a shlish of a shekel. That's all he has to give. That's the bare minimum. The Gemara and Balbasa brought down Shulchan Aruch. That's all he has to give. But beyond that, he doesn't have to give anything more than that. He doesn't have anything to give. So the question becomes, is Matanos Levyonim a form of tzedakah? Or is it some type of way of reyus? Shalach Manos, we know, is trying to be friends with your friends who are contemporaries, the same social network as you. And Matanos Levyonim may be not tzedakah, but try to create reyus with those who are lower than you, who don't have as much as you have. So then the question becomes, if an ani is chayv and Matanos Levyonim or not, depends if it's an inyan of tzedakah or if it's an inyan of reyus. If it's an inyan tzedakah, then they're pater, because they already gave the shlish of a shekel they have to give for the yearly shlish of shekel. To have to put upon them another level of tzedakah, a Matanos Levyonim, they'd be pater. But if the whole nature of Matanos Levyonim is about reyus, about creating friends of all different standards, upper class, middle class, lower class, so then an ani would be equally chayv as well.
It's reyus also that you would have to give it directly to the ani, not into a like a fund and then be distributed just to make the reyus. You'd have to
give it. 100% right.
We don't see that right. Lamaisa, that
for sure.
People are...
The pashup shot is that it's a type right. Of tzedakah. That's pashup shot. I would agree. Because in terms of tzedakah, it would have to dafka, but you shouldn't know who's sending it. The best form of tzedakah is when no one knows who's coming from, where who's getting it. That's a, but if it's reyus, you dafka want them to meet and know where it's coming from and what the address is.
So why don't we have reyus? Why doesn't it apply to us? Why does it only apply to anim?
No, we have Shalach Manos is about reyus, but oftentimes we forget those who are not as fortunate.
I'm saying when we give money, what is it? We're supposed to give it to the ani, no? Doesn't that... It's like the social thing.
Right.
So how are we able to just give it to the rabbi?
Oh, that's exactly what he's saying. So, halach lemaisa, the point is we don't assume it's reyus. It's an opinion out there. We assume it's about tzedakah, in which case it should be given in the most tzanua way possible. Uh-huh. So in the end of the day, whether a katan is chayv in matanos levyonim or not would seemingly depend on whether an ani is chayv matanos levyonim or not. Now, regarding that, let's stop for a second on Matanos Levyonim. We'll return back to Shalach Manos in just a moment. But Matanos Levyonim, children know about Purim Suda. Children know about Megillah, Kriyas Megillah. They know about Shalach Manos. They don't know much about Matanos Levyonim. They just, parents write checks. They don't really bring their kids to the table here. Look at Ruvein and Shimon. I'm writing a check for $180 to this organization, to this yeshiva, to this... You don't invite them. The kids don't know about the tzedakah that goes on. Hopefully there is tzedakah that's going on. They don't really know about it. It's a worthwhile thing to show your kids what it means to give tzedakah. When you're trying to be tzanua and anonymous when you're giving tzedakah, that's important for outside. When it comes to your own children, for them to realize that their parents give money, even a large check, you're writing an $1,800 check. Yes, you don't want people to know about this sometimes, but to invite your kids, that's not called showing off to your kid. That's called chinuch. Invite them to your table and show, listen, Rachel, listen, Davidel, I'm writing a check because it's important. It's important to give money, large sums if you're capable. If it's smaller sums, whatever it is, they have to also be trained in terms of tzedakah. Otherwise, they don't know. If they grow up in a home where no money is being given, so they're not going to know. The best way to train children is by showing them what you're doing. And I think it's a certain level of maturity as well. They learn that their parents are inviting them into some of the financials. You're not showing them your bank account. You're showing them some of the financials that you're willing to give money up for these things. I think there's a big lesson that can be and should be taught to the children as well. It's brought down, the Kedusha Levi writes that he remembers when he was a little kid that his father would send him to various aniyim to give matanos levyonim. That was his job. He writes this in Kedusha Levi, that his father wouldn't give it, he was a rabbi probably, but Yeah, he gave it when he was, when the Berditcher was very young. Take this $100 whatever types of currency they use, and take it to so and so and deliver the matan sevyo. That's what it means to. That's what it means to do chinuch. If someone comes to your door and you want to give money, a check, you know, you want to greet them, but you could give it to your child to hand over the check, hand over the dollar bill, whatever that is. There's a certain level of chinuch that should be incorporated. That's why there's a practice in shuls to give a child a quarter, a dollar, to give to the pushka that goes around in shul. These are levels of chinuch which we don't really appreciate, seemingly because we want to be tzanu about when we give tzedakah. But when it comes to your own children, it's part of the chinuch that's there. So that's the question about, so some even actually say they would give money to the children. On Purim, I want you to give this to Matan Sevyon. This is your own. I'm giving my own check. I'm going to give you a $20 bill and you give to the Matan Sevyon fund as well. It's a certain level of chinuch there as well. Fine, let's return back to the question of Shalach Manosa. Look now at number six. The Aruch HaShulchan wants to know, V'yesh l'stapik im shalach l'katan im yotze. Let's say you send your Shalach Manos to a child. So I imagine most people here are not sending to children, unless you want to say it to a nephew of yours or cousin. But more appropriate, let's say your son is in seventh grade, and he has an early birthday, so he was one of the first ones to be bar mitzvah. So now he's a gadol. And he wants to send to his friends who are not yet bar mitzvah. They're still 12. Would that bar mitzvah boy be yotze, sending to a katan or not? Or should he make sure to fulfill the mitzvah to send to only gadol? Now, there's nothing is wrong by sending to a 12-year-old. It's a nice thing. But if you want to get a checkbox, you want to get the shalach manos, ishul re'ehu, make sure at least one of the shalach manos are being sent to a friend who's already bar mitzvah. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't know the answer. But he says, it appears to me, sheyotza, I think one would be yotze by sending to a katan, deha l're'ehu k'siv. It says, ish l're'ehu, v'gam katan v'chlal. Ketanim are also re'ehu. Oftentimes as adults, we don't treat children as adults, but they're adults also. They have emotions and they have intellect like we do as well. Perhaps more emotions than we have. And we have to treat them as such, as re'ehu. And he brings a raya. How do we know that a katan is called re'ehu, as the pasuk says? He quotes a pasuk, "Tichigav shor ish as shor re'ehu." If my shor gores my friend's shor, now that ox is all damaged. I need to pay for it. And the hanogeach shor shel katan chayr. And if that shor is owned by a katan, I have to pay the katan. So you see, the pasuk says shor re'ehu, and it refers even to a katan. So katan's a re'ehu. Children are our friends as well. So one would be yotzei by sending shalach manos to ketanim as well, is the understanding of the Aruch HaShulchan.
It also says ish. Ish is usually connotates.
In economics. But it says yeah, re'ehu. Right. So then take a look at you don't have this in front of you, do you? You do, yeah. The Shuvas Shuvas Hanhagos from Shermach. But Shermach says, number seven, v'nei nistapku b'ktas achronim, it was unclear amongst the number achronim, imahani mishloach manos l'katan, can you send shalach manos to a minor? V'nir, he writes, de'afilu neima de'begadol ha'shalach l'katan eina yotze bazeh. Even if you want to assume, against the Aruch HaShulchan, that if a gadol sends to a katan, you're not yotze to the mitzvah of shalach manos. Mikom makom, katan l'katan v'ad yotze. If they're both under bar mitzvah, 11-year-old sends to an 11-year-old, then he would certainly agree it would work because they're on the same level here. Bein mitamris.
Why don't we make that thin enough then?
What?
Why don't we make that thin enough?
That would seem they're assuming that one would do chinuch. And how would you do chinuch properly? A katan gives to a katan, a gadol gives to a gadol. That's exactly how he thinks. A katan can even give it to a gadol. But a gadol shouldn't necessarily give it to a katan because a katan may not be considered re'ehu. So he says, if a katan gives to a katan, an 11-year-old gives to an 11-year-old, you're yotze either way, because we know the famous machlokes about what is shalach manos all about. Is it bitam reyus, about creating friends, or is it about sudas purim? He says, either way, a katan to a katan, you certainly satisfy that. I'm not sure why you don't satisfy that when it comes to a gadol to a katan. Could be they're not friends, they're not reyus, one's 13 and one's 12 and a half, I'm not sure. But he says, certainly a katan to a katan is yotze the mitzvah of chinuch. But a gadol to a katan is not, he's not so sure. So again, one should be careful that if he's a gadol, he should make sure he's giving to at least one individual who is above the age of 13. Now, Rav Yashiv Paskins, he thinks no. He thinks he, regardless of gadol to katan, katan to gadol, he always yotze. A gadol who gives to a katan, he assumes like the Aruch HaShulchan, one is yotze, the mitzvah of shalach manos.
Because of reis?
Because of reis, exactly. So in the end of the day, we see clearly that against Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and against this type, the practice is certainly to be mechanicha children in shalach manos, as well as matanos le'ev yonim. So let's now return back to the question about what do you do after your child received all these shalach manos? Are you allowed to give them away? Now, it's certainly more a problem even when the child is no longer a child. He or she is 12 or 13 years old, and then you really have nothing to work with. So let's go back to that for a second. But before we go back to that halacha, we're going to go back to number 8 now, which is what we started with. I just want to go through some basic halachas about the ownership of a katan found in the Shulchan Aruch based on Gemaras. And Gemara tells us, the Shulchan Aruch rather tells us, as I mentioned before, a mitzias cheres shot v'katan ein bo mishum gezo. If a katan finds something on the floor, an aveda, that he's allowed to keep, there's no gezo if you take it from him, there's no issue of stealing, you're allowed to. Mipnei darche shalom, however, because of darche shalom, we don't take it away from him. Fine. And then he writes, the Ramah adds, this is only true of a mitzia. There's ein dasacheres maknilo, where no one was giving it over to him, he just acquired on his own. That's where we say it's only darche shalom. About schirus shel katan. Let's say a katan, he was working as a youth leader in the groups downstairs, and he's only 12 or she's only 11, and they get paid for doing their service, or they're a waiter, whatever job they're doing. So that is actually called a katan. He says in the Ramah, you could be motzi bedayanim. If the father tries taking that money away from the paycheck of his child, the 11-year-old child, that child could take their parents to court, to Bezdin, and get the money out of the parents' hands. Because if there's a das acheres makna, if someone is giving the money over to that child, whether it's a gift or whether it's a schiris, they were hired, that's fully owned by the katan. Only by mitzia do we say, we only can't take it because of darche shalom. So then, we have the Ramah now. The Ramah inside, if you look at number 8, Ramah writes that im nasnu matana l'katan, let's say a gift was given to a katan, hasamech al shulchan aviv, harehi shel aviv, it's the father's. Avalo bivno gadol, if the child is over 13 or a girl over 12, they keep it. But again, the Ramah writes, if it was a gift given to a child, a katan, who's living in the parent's house, the father keeps it. Didn't we just say before that the Ramah writes that if the katan receives something, dasacheres makna, the katan gets to keep it. And if his parents take the money away, you could take them to Bezdin, your parents to Bezdin.
What power is he going to have in Bezdin to take it back?
No, he goes to Bezdin, and Bezdin intervenes and says the katan has the rightful ownership because since the shul paid him money, that was a dasacheres makna, and they gave it to him, he has full ownership. So just like when the schiris, there's a hiring, he owns it because he was hired to do a job. He owns it, he has full rights. So too, if there was a gift given by a das acheres makna, so the katan should have full ownership. And why does the Ramah say, it's harei he shall aviv? Why does the father get to keep it? In fact, the Gra asks this question. Look at number 9. The number 9, the Gra writes, kimo ishto hanosin lamatana kanta. So he's talking about right now, we know, masha kana isha kana baila. Whatever a woman makes, the money she makes, the husband actually gets to keep it. All the money in the house is really the husband's. She makes a big-time job, making hundreds of thousands of dollars, working in a big firm in the city. It's all the husband's. Mashkana isha, kana baila. It's actually shaila in Hilchot Tzedakah, also related to Hilchot Matanos Lev Yonim. Let's say an ani comes to the door and wants some money. So the law is she can't give it. She's not allowed to give it because it's not hers to give. Mashkana isha, kana baila. So what right does she have giving $20 to the ani if it's not her money? The Pishkei Tshuva writes, the heter is if it's a woman who's involved in the finances of the home, she checks the balance and checks the checkbook, and she has her credit card, and she spends what she wants. So then such a woman, which would probably cover every woman in this area, that she has full control and full rights. The money she's allowed to give tzedakah. It's implicit permission that's there.
Right, it's permission.
Exactly, implicit permission from her husband to give the money away. So the Gra says, an Isha, if someone gives a gift to an Isha, so then the gift was given for her to keep, not for the husband. I mean, another way for the wife to keep her own money, if it was given specifically for her. If it was given to the house, so then the father gets full rights to it. If they have a business that's running, it's a family business, so then the husband has all rights. But if someone gave a gift just for her, it was her birthday, her 40th birthday, they gave her a gift, so he can't take that away from her. So with when the nosin gives with a specific intent, the wife's allowed to keep it. Das Acheres allows it to be acquired by the receiver, the recipient, and also no one's allowed to take it away from that recipient. So the Gra asks, Vitzarhi, the Gam Katan Likne. So just like an Isha is able to acquire something, even though in general we say Mashikana Isha, Kanabaila, but when there's a Das Acheres Makna, so then the Isha gets to keep it, it's a Katan as well. The Gam Katan Likne, the Ha Das Acheres Makna. So he doesn't understand why the Ramah thinks that when the katan gets a gift, the father takes it. The friend gave it to me to keep. That's my father. So why did my father take it away from me? So look what the Sma writes. The Sma is one of the Nosei Kelim, one of the Perushim on the side of Shulchan Aruch. The Sma writes in number 10 about Lo Bivno Gadol, De'ikla Meimar, Hanosein Hikbid Lios Dafka Shaben. When it comes to a Bino Gadol, when there's a 13-year-old boy or a 12-year-old girl, the one giving it, the Das Acheres Makna gave it with understanding that he's a 13-year-old boy now, he's responsible. So let him keep it. Ava Masha'en came Benosin Livno Akatan. When you give to a child under the age of 13, under the age of 12, Dimistama Ein Meshumer Biado Zulas Das Aviv Hashomer. The child doesn't know what to do. Let's say, a bar mitzvah gift. The kid's not yet bar mitzvah. So he's making a party 2 days before his bo bayom. So when the money's given to the child, they know he's not responsible to take a $1,000 check. What's he going to do with that? He's going to go buy, Yankee jerseys, Knick jerseys, Net jerseys. What are he going to buy? He's going to be careless. So he gave the money. This is you, but it's going to be under the watch of your parents. Until you're ready, until they hold that you're responsible. So when you give to a god, now it's hard for us to understand because 13 and 12, in our eyes, they're not really responsible until they get to the age of 16, 17, 18. But let's at least backtrack back in the times of the Gemara, where they were much more mature and responsible at a much younger age. They got jobs when they were 13 years old. Just try to put your mind in that place for a moment. So when a child is 13, I have full trust by giving you the gift that you'll make responsible decisions. But the child is only 12. Or the girl's only 11, I don't fully trust you yet. I'm giving this to you, but your parents are going to watch over how you use the money, how you use the gift. So that's what he says here. Even though when there's a Das Acheres Makna, this Das Acheres Makna is giving it to him with the understanding that the father and mother are going to supervise how he uses the money. Look at that inside again. Masha'enken benosam livnoa katan, dimistama einam ashumer biyado. The child's not going to know how to watch over the gift, how to take care of the money. Zulas das aviv hashomro, without the father helping supervise. V'nafs l'katan, when it's given to a katan, adai t'davu, it's given with the understanding that the father could actually use that money.
So is he making a differentiation between ownership and supervision? Not the same thing.
It's what he's saying here. This is an ownership that's not really being owned by the son. Normally, in a regular case, let's say the das acheres makna was, that I want the child to own it and I fully trust you, then the katan owns it. This was a type of ownership with strings attached to it. That I'm not sure how you're going to legally, right? Is it really owned by the father and then the child when he gets older, or it's really the child with a certain stipulation? I'm not sure how to actually categorize it, but certainly there's a limitation the use of the son. Not because he lacks in ownership, he's able to, because the Das Acheres Makna held back what he was allowing the katan to own. So now, that being the case, now it gets a little bit complicated. What happens in our very situation of Shalach Manos? So when let's say a 13-year-old boy, has the ability to own things, he's a bar mitzvah, he's a gadol, he's able to give things away, he's old enough to share. So when he gives his Laffy Taffys to his friend who's not yet bar mitzvah, seemingly he's not giving it under the watch of his parents. I'm only giving this to you if your parents make sure you have it after you finish your broccoli or something. He's not thinking like that, obviously. He's giving it to his friend because I want his friend to have it. So it would sound like that in our case of Shalach Manos, there are a couple of things that you have to work with. if it's coming from a gadol who has full ability to transfer things over, so then he gave it to the katan that you're going to own it fully, and the katan has full rights to that shalach manos. And me as a parent, I can't intervene. If, let's say, the shalach manos came from a katan to a gadol, so then we question whether the katan's even allowed to give something in the first place. He doesn't know how to transfer things. So the katan is a very, very tricky situation, how to deal with all the surplus in shalach manos. Who owns it? Who has the right? What was the intent of the das acheres matna? So in the end of the day, what are you supposed to do? The answer is quite simple. Sit down with your children and say, this is what we're doing, this is their agreement. So in my house, what we do is, my wife runs this. I don't really know exactly how it goes on, but there's some they had the last week, the draft of the All-Star game, right? So they have some type of draft with my kids. I don't know how they pick out who goes first. So everyone gets a certain draft pick, and they pick, 8 different things they want, maybe 10, whatever the number is, and the rest gets donated. But it's all in agreement. Everyone consents to having such an agreement. Now, it's also a little bit forced. I'm not sure if they really have much of a choice here, but it's also a question, just like we question whether a katan is allowed to acquire something, whether they have the ability to acquire something, there's also a question, are they able to be mochel? Can they relinquish something as well? So it's not a very, very easy thing, but the best practice is certainly to sit down with everyone and all the children and discuss, this is what the best plan is. We're not going to finish all the candy by the time Pesach comes. And it's not good for your teeth. It's not good for your health. And it's good to help those who don't have anything, to help the anim who really need. And this way, everyone's on the same page, and that's the best practice. But to start taking things out from this one, without, he turns around, you take that thing away, you take that thing away, that would seem to be incorrect, perhaps a violation of stealing, maybe. And therefore, it's best to be completely open with the children what the best practice should be.